Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
The text that we're going to look at comes from Luke chapter 5. So you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 11. Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, 1 to 11. Now before we get to this passage in Luke 5, you must remember that Jesus, as he went and as he preached, Jesus was rejected in his own hometown. But as the word about the authority of Jesus' teachings and the miracles that Jesus was doing, as the word got out, Jesus was followed by the crowds. The crowds started to follow him wherever he went, but Jesus was very clear on the purpose for which he came. If you look at chapter 4, just the last part there in chapter 4, Jesus says why he came. He says in Luke 4, and I'm just going to read verse 43, but he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Okay? And then it says, and he was preaching in the synagogues in Judea. Yes, of course, Jesus did amazing miracles, but Jesus was very clear. The purpose for which I came was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. They say, well, what is the good news of the kingdom of God, if I can put it in one sentence? Simply put, the good news of the kingdom of God is that God reigns as king over all creation, and that God is establishing his rule through his Son, Jesus Christ, who redeems and transforms the lives of those who believe in him. That's one sentence. And then we get to our passage this morning, so let's read together. Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, as you can see, Jesus was preaching, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, Peter and the other fishermen, they fished right through the night without any success. They were washing their nets because it was time to knock off. I mean, they fished right through the night, time to knock off from work. And Jesus then gets into Peter's boat and he asks him to move away from the land. Remember what I said, the crowds were following Jesus to hear his amazing teaching and of course to see the miracles, and they were almost pressing Jesus, pressing and pushing Jesus into the water. That's how bad it got. OK, okay, as the crowds were following him. And then Jesus gets into the boat, okay? Fewer people wanted to get wet. But Jesus gets into the boat, and then Jesus has a great pulpit to preach from. And the acoustics and everything was great, and Jesus gets up and he preaches from the boat. But all of this clearly gets the attention of Peter. Peter finds himself in the middle of this. I mean, Peter is there and he's busy cleaning the nets and he's busy listening to the sermon, and the next minute he finds himself in the middle of the sermon and in the middle of a sermon illustration. Okay? I mean, imagine you're sitting there at the back and, you know, the sermon starts and you're listening. Next minute the whole service starts around and you're right there at the front listening to the sermon, and next minute I'm asking you to get up and, you know, busy with the sermon illustration. That's what happens to Peter as he finds himself right at the center. Jesus then gives Peter, the fisherman, the experienced fisherman, some direction, some lessons on fishing. Now, if you know anything about the life of Jesus, Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus was known, everyone knew that Jesus' father was Joseph, the carpenter. So everyone knew that Jesus was a carpenter. And what does Jesus know about fishing? What does he know about fishing? Maybe Jesus should stick to fishing, to fixing boats, or, you know, building tables and pulpits and all those kind of things. But what does Jesus know about fishing? Maybe he should stick to carpentry. Now, have you ever had someone who has no clue about your profession coming to you and wanting to give you some advice in your profession? Okay? How does it feel? How does it make you feel? Okay? You've studied all those years, 4 years, some of you 7 years, and then you have someone come and they want to tell you how to do your job. How does it feel? Doesn't feel great, does it? But let's be honest. We've all done it before, okay? You go to a specialist, you wait months to get to the specialist, you pay all that money to get to the specialist, to go tell the specialist exactly what's wrong with you, because you've studied on YouTube and Google and you know everything. We've all done that before. But you know what it feels like? You know, someone comes and tells you how to do your job. This is exactly what is happening. Jesus, the carpenter, comes and he tells Peter how to do his job. But look at what Peter says. I mean, think of what you would think. You would think, man, just run. Just stay in your lane. So Jesus says to Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And listen to what Simon says. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. Firstly, as Peter's life is flipped upside down, we see Peter's obedience. As his life is flipped upside down, we see his obedience. Peter hears and he obeys the words of Jesus. Now, of course, Peter does remind Jesus that they, the skilled fishermen, they have labored all night. I mean, think about it. Think about it. They had little success. And, of course, little success is expected. If I throw just the net into the deep, little success is expected. They have done everything humanly possible to catch fish all through the night. I'm just drinking some water here. Otherwise, I'm going to be fishing and... Sorry. That's going to be better. So they've done everything humanly possible to try and catch fish. And they caught nothing. Not even one little fish. Nothing. And now it's the wrong time of the day to catch fish. It's the wrong place. But nevertheless, Peter says, Lord, Master, at your word, if you tell us, if you tell me, I will do it. Peter hears and he obeys. Peter is teachable. He's teachable. And he's humble. And he casts the net into the deep when it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for this fisherman to do it, but he does it. And let's be honest. Sometimes obedience to Jesus Christ doesn't make sense to us, isn't it? Jesus, it doesn't make sense to do this. You tell us to do this, but we'll obey. We'll do this. Think of other things that Jesus has said before that doesn't make sense to people. Doesn't make sense. John 11, whoever believes in me, though he dies, he will live. It doesn't make sense, Jesus. You're just believing in you, and then I'll die, but I'll live. It doesn't make sense. Just trust me. Believe in me. Obey. Love my enemies, Jesus. Love my enemies. What about what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? Remember what he said to him? If you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Oof. I mean, it didn't make sense to this rich young ruler that I need to give up everything to get treasure in heaven. And Jesus was really pressing him on what he loved most. But Jesus was saying, give up what you love most to find what is more precious. Didn't make sense to this man. But Peter hears and he obeys. Sometimes as we obey Jesus Christ on his mission, and even as we're going to make disciples in this new year, as we fish for men, it's not going to look like it's going to make sense. But Jesus calls us to obey. To obey Jesus is to trust him. It is to put our confidence in him, in his words. It's not putting our confidence in what we see. It's not putting our confidence in our skill, in our CV, in our past or even present failures. It's putting our confidence in his words. We are to have a childlike faith. One of simple obedience. At your word, Master, I'll obey. Peter obeyed Jesus, and look at the blessing. I want you to not miss this. It's very obvious in the passage, but I mean, Peter obeyed Jesus, and look at the blessings that came from simple obedience. Well, for one, they had a boatload of fish, okay? They had a boatload of fish just by simply obeying Jesus, and someone got fish that evening to eat. Because someone obeyed Jesus. Okay, from catching nothing to having a boatload of fish because they obeyed Jesus. Someone had fish to sell, someone had fish to eat because someone simply obeyed Jesus. But not just that, here's the key. They got to witness Jesus do a nature miracle. They got to witness Jesus do a miracle. They got to see something of Jesus because they simply obeyed Jesus. Don't forget the blessing that comes from obedience. Now, sometimes we are surprised when we see the blessings of obedience. Don't be surprised when you obey Jesus in your kind words and you experience the blessings that come from that in your relationships with your children and with your spouse. Don't be surprised when you obey Jesus and when you obey the scriptures in giving, and you realize that you can't outgive God. I mean, don't be surprised when you experience the blessings of obedience. Don't be surprised, children, when you obey your parents and you honor your parents and you love your parents and you experience God's favor and protection over your life because of that. The blessing of obedience to the scriptures. We see that even in this passage. Don't be surprised in this year when you regularly meet with the saints. You do not neglect to gather with the saints. When you experience the blessing and your life is flipped upside down as we gather together and you are moved to a greater love for God and a greater love for others. The blessing of obedience. Secondly, as Peter's life is flipped upside down, we see his confession. So we see his obedience, but secondly, we see his confession. Peter sees himself, and he sees Jesus for who Jesus is. Look at verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You see, Peter's response is similar to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, for those who know that passage. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah also saw the Lord on his throne, high and lifted up. He saw the Lord in His holiness. In His holiness, just meaning in His purity. He saw God in God being separate from everything else. He saw God being pure without sin. And he saw God on the throne. And you know what Isaiah said? Isaiah said, "Woe is me." Basically cursed himself. He basically called a curse on himself. He basically said, "Woe is me. I'm cursed. Woe is me. I am lost. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, when Isaiah stood before the King of Kings, the Holy God, he saw himself. He saw his own sinfulness, his own depravity. He saw his own unbelief. He saw his smallness and his weakness compared to who God is. And you know what happens if you go read Isaiah chapter 6? Immediately after Isaiah sees himself, God then deals with his problem, his sin problem, but then also God calls him to mission, and Isaiah's ready to go wherever God calls him. After he sees himself and he sees who God is, he's ready to go wherever God calls him. And that's exactly what we see in this passage with Peter. Peter sees himself, he sees who Jesus is, and then he's ready to follow Jesus wherever Jesus calls him to go. Jesus, in this passage, performs a nature miracle, displaying his power over creation. Jesus has a built-in fish finder. Jesus can find fish. He can direct fish into the net. J.C. Ryle writes this. He says, "The fish of the sea are as much obedient to his will as the frogs and the flies and the lice and locusts in the plagues of Egypt. All are his servants and all obey his commands." The fish go where Jesus tells them to go. But that's not all. I mean, surely as Peter sees this, as he sees the fish being the fish going into the nets, knowing this, knowing and seeing who Jesus is, he also sees that Jesus is powerful to give him life, to direct his life, to change the course of Peter's life. See, Peter's unbelieving eyes were opened to see the sovereign Lord, Jesus, who is to be worshipped. I want to ask you, when you realized who Jesus was through the scriptures and as you got to know more of Jesus, when you realized who Jesus was, did you have a deep awareness of your sinfulness? Did you see yourself for who you are? And what did it do to your life? Was your life transformed? Was your life flipped around? Now, it's interesting in this passage that everyone saw what Jesus did. I mean, the crowd, the people, they saw what Jesus did. But not everyone responded the way that Peter responded. You see, not everyone left everything and followed Jesus. Not everyone counted the cost of following Jesus. Not everyone responded the same way. We're reading the same text this morning, but are you going to respond the way that Peter responded in worship, seeing yourself, seeing who Jesus is this morning? Jesus then says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Well, thirdly, as Peter's life is flipped upside down, we see his commitment. Okay? Peter follows Jesus and he has a new purpose. You see, now Peter is exactly at the place where he could be used by Jesus for mission. And what place is that? Great skillfulness. No. Not because he was a great fisherman. Now suddenly God's like, okay, now I've got the right person for the job. No. He's at a place of awareness of his sin and weakness. Great place to be used by God. Here in verse 10 and 11, Jesus tells Peter that he has a new purpose. He will be catching men. To catch is to capture alive. They do not need to make men alive, but that is the work of God. God will make men alive. Do you think that after seeing this miracle, that Peter would walk away from this and think that he is responsible for bringing people into the kingdom of God? That it's up to him? Of course not. All Peter knows is that he needs to be obedient to the word of Jesus, cast the net, and Jesus is going to bring them into the kingdom. You see, salvation is of the Lord. But why does Jesus say to Peter, do not fear? Do not fear. He says to him, do not fear. Well, as you fish for men, do not fear. Don't fear your own inadequacies. Don't fear that you are weak, because you are weak. But don't fear. Don't fear that it'll feel like you do not measure up. Don't forget who is your righteousness. You do not have a righteousness of your own. Jesus is your righteousness. Do not fear that you will still struggle with your sin as you fish for men. Do not fear what people will say. You see, success of Peter's ministry, success in his preaching does not depend on Peter. It does not depend on him. It depends on Christ. You see, ministry success does not depend on us. Of course, what we are called to do is we are called to be obedient. We are called to be obedient to his mission. We are not in charge of saving people. Have you ever saved anyone? Saved anyone's soul? Are you in charge of sanctification, the sanctification process? No, God uses us and we're part of that and we encourage one another, love one another, spur one another on, but I can't sanctify anyone, make someone more like Jesus. But there's no need to fear, because Jesus is with us as we fish for men. But followers of Jesus are fishers of men. Now, don't just bring people to church so that Pastor Charles can fish for men, okay? Or the elders can fish for men, or so that we can cast the net. You know, you have people who say, man, you need to come to our church. Our pastor or our elders, you know, they're great fishers of men. You're around the fish. Cast your net. You need to fish for men where God has placed you. In the workplace and at school, at varsity, God has placed you there. You need to cast the net of the gospel. Cast the net of the gospel and God will bring them in. Now I want to say, well, what is the gospel? Make sure that you know the gospel. Cast the net of the gospel and God will bring them in. Well, what is the gospel? Simply put, the gospel is this, that we are all sinners and we have rebelled against our Creator King. We all deserved His wrath. We all deserved His judgment. Yet by His grace, God the Father sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and He was resurrected. And if we repent of our sin, and if we trust in Jesus Christ alone as the Lord and the Savior of our lives, we will receive, get this, full forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And we will follow Him and make followers of Him. That's the gospel. Plain and simple. Just cast that net of the gospel and see what God does with that. What is it that moved Peter? What is it that moved him to go out? What is it that compelled Peter to forsake all his plans and give up his fishing business? What is it that compelled him to leave everything and follow Jesus? It was that he saw the glory of Jesus Christ. And he saw that Jesus Christ was more precious than everything else that he had. That's what compelled him. That's what moved him. And now, sharing Jesus' fame, sharing his excellencies with everyone, was more important than his life purpose, his own life purpose. I'm going to repeat that again. Now sharing Jesus' fame and His excellencies with everyone was more important than His own life's purposes. That was the most important to Peter. Now, believer, you, if you have been saved by God's grace, you have a new purpose. You have a new purpose. Peter, when he writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, he writes to believers who were scattered, who were persecuted under Nero. And he writes to them and he reminds them that they are aliens. They're not of this world. And they're not citizens of this world. And one of the things that he reminds them of is he says, remember who you are. You've got a new position. You've been saved. You have a new position, a new identity as believers, as followers of Christ. And then he writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, he reminds them of who they are. He says, you are a chosen race. God picked you. You're a chosen people, picked by God. He says, you are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You've been set apart for God and His purposes. You are a people of His own possession. You belong to Him. And then he says this, he gives the purpose. Why? Why did God do that? Why did God save you? Why has He set you apart? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Jesus uses ordinary people like Peter, people like you and me, to accomplish His purpose of reaching the nations by proclaiming His excellencies. Ordinary people like you and me. You know, you think of casting the nets and fishing for men and sharing the gospel. You might say, well, I'm not really a people's person. It's not really for me. I wonder if Peter was a people's person. I don't think Peter was really a people's person. I think he had a bit of a temper. I think he had a bit of a foul mouth. You know, he was quick-tempered and you know, easy to draw the sword and try to cut people's heads off and just got the ear. But I don't think Peter was really a people's person. But Jesus said, I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. Jesus uses committed, ordinary, messy people to display His greatness. And I love the words of the song from Casting Crowns. It's not deep theological truths, but so plain and simple. Where he writes, he says, why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line, with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones that you were looking for. All this time, because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. Man, isn't that great? Because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave me a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Has your life been flipped upside down by Jesus Christ? Have you obeyed Him, trusted Him? Do you see your sinfulness? Do you see Jesus for who He is? And are you following Him? Are you following Him, and do you see your new purpose in this life?
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.